Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in another week of the Hoosier Report, live with you here each day at 11 a.m. on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to be back with you. Was out a few days at the end of last week working down at Harvest Homecoming, but back here this week. Appreciate Lee Kelly and Douglas Wolverton helping fill in while I was gone at the end of last week. Lot to get to. IU football wins. They take another step closer to being bowl eligible. We'll talk about that. Definitely some exciting weeks ahead to see what this team can do. Can they get wins 5 and 6? This weekend, I think, will be a big step if they can beat Maryland on the roads. So we'll talk about that. Also, Romeo Langford, he has had the injury bug as much as any player I can recall here over the last year after the thumb injury early in his freshman season at Indiana that kept him out. He obviously continued to play, but it affected him. Once he got to Boston, trying to recover, trying to get healthy, doesn't play in the summer league because of that injury. We find out just weeks ago that he is back. No cast, no brace, no ping pong paddle, nothing helping his shot or helping his thumb. And he tweaks his groin, which kept him out of the first preseason game and delayed his start in the training camp practices with the Celtics. And he got a bucket over the weekend on Friday night, got some second half minutes that they were slowly, it looked like, working him into the lineup now that he is healthy. Playing some on Sunday as well, leaves the game yesterday with a knee injury, or leg injury. I'm not sure exactly what they classified it as. So nonetheless, we'll find out more, I'm sure, soon. I think it was a right knee sprain was the actual wording the Celtics tweeted out during the exhibition game on Sunday. So we'll talk some about that. And, of course, we have our Athlete of the Week announcement, which is coming up here in just a few moments as well. Plenty to get to on Mondays as we also talk some IU basketball. You know we're going to be doing that each and every day with the season just around the corner. Thanks for being with us, and appreciate everybody that listens, whether it's live or whether it's on the podcast. The replay on the radio is at 3 o'clock, the podcast on SoundCloud, also on Apple Podcasts. We're just glad to have you with us no matter how you listen to the program each and every day. Let's take a look at the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week for this week. It's presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. They've been with us all season long and will continue into the winter, into basketball seasons. We'll be naming an Athlete of the Week as well. We just had some outstanding individual performances over the football season. We've had some weeks where it's really hard to differentiate exactly who should win the award. This week is another week. There were two or three performances that were very similar. Those performances all helped their teams to victories this weekend. For local high school footballs, we enter the last few weeks of the regular season. In fact, week 9 coming up is it as far as regular season play goes. We've had a lot of local teams win. We had a stretch there where we had some bare nights as far as local success for our teams, but we've had some good success the last couple weeks, a lot of teams winning games, and we'll see if anybody can build some momentum heading into the postseason, which we found out the pairings last night. You may have listened here on the Big X Sports Radio for the IHSA's announcement of the football state tournament pairings, and I'm going to talk about those coming up here in just a bit in our headline segment. But this week's Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Jeffersonville, is Jeffersonville's Isaac Finley. 19 rushes for 167 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had scores of 29 yards, 35 yards, and a 79-yard kickoff return in Jeffersonville's 54-29 victory on Friday night. That's back-to-back victories for the Red Devils, who are trying to maybe build some late season momentum as they head into the state tournament. So congratulations to Isaac Finley of Jeffersonville. He's the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sardano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Isaac gets a free 14-inch Sardano's pizza, which is delicious, and also gets some recognition here all week long on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll be reminding you of his performance on our radio show, and you'll be hearing a promotional announcement that will run recognizing Isaac's performance here on the station all week long. Other good performances this week: Marion Lukes has had some major ones this year. Another good one for him, 25 carries for 152 yards and 3 touchdowns. He recently became the all-time leading rusher for Charlestown, eclipsing the 5,000-yard mark, and he did that in Friday's game. He now has a total of over 3 years of football there, 5,144 yards. He's had just an amazing career at Charlestown. Winkers Wright at Floyd Central, he's had a great year, 19 carries for 148 yards and 2 touchdowns. Miles Johnson of New Albany, 20 carries for 110 yards. He had 3 touchdown runs as well. So definitely some good performances out there, as all of those teams that those players play for, I just mentioned, all victorious this week. But congratulations to Isaac Finley of Jeffersonville. He is our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sardano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's go to the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's Hoosier headlines for the day. We'll take you through some of the news and notes about Romeo Lankford, about the high school football pairings. We'll talk some IU football. We'll talk about Trace Jackson Davis, who won the gold jersey that Archie Miller hands out at practice. And I'll tell you another perhaps development that's of note in the 2020 recruiting class as well. That'll all be coming up here in segment one in our Zaxby's headlines. Later in the program, in segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us. Zach and I are going to talk a lot of IU football to start, about the Rutgers victory, 35-0. It was a big victory after a bye week for the IU team. Also, we'll talk about the upcoming game against Maryland, which is definitely a winnable game, for no question about it, for this Indiana team. And then we'll look at the rest of the year. Could Indiana not only get to 6, but perhaps beyond as far as victories go this season in football? We'll talk about that. So stay with us, all coming up here with Zach Osterman later in the program. Then we'll close things out today with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. We will talk with him about a number of things. We'll go through some of the local sectional football pairings and a lot of other topics as well. That's the lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, now it's time for our Zaxby's headlines, brought to you each day by Zaxby's, with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. First off, IU football wins 35-0. It was a resilient victory for this IU football team after a bye week. Good to see them bounce back after a little rest and do what they needed to do. I mean, Indiana had to beat Rutgers. They were the big favorite to beat Rutgers, but it's nice to see this team actually put a team away that they should. And they've done that this season against Connecticut, and they've done that against Eastern Illinois. Not so much against Ball State, a close 10-point game to start the year. But Indiana football, I think, is definitely continuing to take some steps forward as the season goes on. The next step for this team is winning on the road at Maryland, who somehow found a way to come to Purdue and win handily over the weekend, despite playing a Purdue team, Purdue victorious handily over Maryland. Got that backwards. Purdue with some injuries, Rondale Moore one of them, but still found a way to get Maryland. So Indiana needs to go to Maryland, and you'd like to see them record a similar victory over Maryland as they get ready for Nebraska, Northwestern, Penn State, big Michigan game, which could be fun if this team continues to improve, and then at Purdue to close the regular season. Can Indiana get to 6 wins? I'm saying yes. Can they get to 7? I think they can. I think the Hoosiers might get to 7 victories in this regular season of football. Small recruiting note to pass along before we get into some other basketball stuff. You know, we've talked a lot about the 2020 class in Indiana. It's not a really deep class. Indiana has commitments from Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, two of the more highly touted players. I think both of those guys are probably neck and neck when it comes to Mr. Basketball candidates for the upcoming season. And really, with some other commitments, that was really about it for the 2020 class. You couldn't see anybody late being added as a scholarship player from the state. However, last night, Andre Davis from Lawrence Central in Indianapolis, decommitted from Nebraska. He put a tweet out that said, quote, "I want to thank Coach Hoiberg and the rest of the staff, as well as the Husker Nation, for allowing me a great opportunity. I appreciate all they've done for me. After a lot of thought and support, I've decided to reopen my recruitment. I will be decommitting from Nebraska." So DeAndre Davis decommits. He could be someone that Indiana jumps in with. I don't know if decommitting, he has a plan of where he'd like to go, or is truly going to open it up all the way to see what happens. But no question about it, he is somebody in Indianapolis that in this state that no question about it will be a coveted high major Division I player. He could play elsewhere in the Big Ten Conference. Perhaps Indiana gets involved with him. Definitely a Division I player, though. In fact, some people think he could be the best senior in the state of Indiana as far as college potential goes. So it'll be interesting to see if Indiana swoops in. They've got some available scholarships in this class. There has been a little momentum, some visitors this fall, but nobody that you're like, okay, Indiana could get a commitment from this player or that player any certain day. So we'll see if they jump in hard and go after DeAndre Davis of Lawrence Central High School in Indianapolis in this 2020 class of seniors. Also, a headline I want to mention today is Trace Jackson Davis. He won the gold jersey that's awarded each week in practice by Coach Miller. Don't really know about how it's awarded. It's been told it's a plus-minus, like a stat system they use to determine who gets the gold jersey each week. You might remember going back last year, one of the winners of the jersey early in practice was Jerome Hunter. So good to see another newcomer this year in Trace Jackson Davis get to wear that jersey in practice until another Hoosier proves worthy of taking it away from him. Trace Jackson Davis obviously is going to be counted on big this season. Had a good Hoosier hysteria. There's been a lot of excitement and build up to him with the season just around the corner. And this is another thing that I think gets you excited about what he could mean to this Hoosier program over the next few years, coming in right away with the opportunity to play and make an impact. Winning that gold jersey in early season practice is obviously a big deal for him. One other note, actually a couple other notes. Romeo Langford, I mentioned this at the top of the show, was taken out of the game yesterday, the exhibition game between Boston and the Cleveland Cavaliers. He suffered a right knee sprain in the fourth quarter of Sunday's game, according to the Celtics. I guess the positive is Celtics coach Brad Stevens kind of downplayed the injury following the Celtics win over Cleveland, but he said he was unsure if Langford would suit up for the team's preseason finale, which comes up here in just a few days. So a lot of things going on with Romeo that I know are disappointing as far as injuries. The hand kept him out of summer league. The shooting hand kept him out of some of the early, I'm sure, workouts and things the team goes through. A groin tweak kept him out of the first preseason game and a lot of the training camp practices. And now that he was starting to get some minutes, another little setback. Again, it doesn't sound like anything major, nothing devastating. Could always be worse, but I think everybody wants to see Romeo be healthy and just get a fair chance to start the season, see what kind of role maybe by midseason he can develop for this Boston Celtics team. Football pairings came out last night from the IHSA. I think most interesting, at least for me, is Class 5A. Just a four-team sectional, so they actually get a bye on October 25th. On November 1st, the games will be New Albany against Jeffersonville. Two rivals will play, and then Bedford North Lawrence and Floyd Central will play, and the other side of the bracket, and of course they just played over the weekend, and it was a fairly competitive game. So that could be a really good competitive sectional, which would be a lot of fun. Also, the 4A pairings came out. Silver Creek, they got a tough draw because right out of the gate, the Dragons, who dropped their first game over the weekend to Brownstown, are going to have to take on East Central, who's recently been a state champion in 4A and has a very strong football program. So that'll be a tough matchup for the Dragons right out of the gate as well. Some interesting games in Class 3A, Charlestown with Marion Lukes. They've been on a real streak. They get Brownstown right out of the gate on October 25th when that sectional begins. The 2A sectional, Providence and Clarksville, drew each other right out of the gate. They'll play in the first game, first round, on October 25th. And in the 1A sectional locally, Rock Creek, they will take on North Central Farmersburg in their opening round of sectional play. We'll be having a lot more coming up with the upcoming football state tournament as we narrow down our coverage of the regular season, the final week of regular season play coming up Friday. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more, including a chat with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star to talk IU football's win and maybe what they could get accomplished beyond six wins. Is six possible, and how far beyond that could they get this year? We'll talk Trace Jackson Davis. We'll talk the secret scrimmage, which is the next activity for the IU basketball team here in this preseason time, and a lot more coming your way next on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday program for our weekly chat with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We always talk IU basketball, and of course this time of year football as well, and that's where I would like to start today. Zach, the Hoosiers get a 35-0 win, including a 21-0 jump in the first period to beat Rutgers 35-0, and they are moving along in their quest to become bowl eligible. I want to talk a little bit about the Rutgers game, and then I want to look ahead a little bit as well, because there are some very interesting weeks ahead, some potential very good games, and the opportunity for this team to get bowl eligible in the coming weeks if they can record a minimum of, what, two more victories. And so, Zach, I think things are exciting right now with the Hoosier football team.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a weekend where Indiana just sort of took care of the business it needed to the way that it needed to. But I do think at some point we may have to start giving Indiana credit for that. You know, if you think about, if you kind of set the Ball State game to one side and recognize that on both sides of the coin, that was, you know, it was a season opener. Season openers are rarely perfect affairs. Teams are, you know, kind of rocky, working through those early season jitters and things. And you look at the other three games that Indiana's played, you know, frankly, I don't mean to make light of it. Indiana's played three really bad teams in those three games, UConn, Rutgers, and Eastern Illinois. That said, Indiana has won those three games, I think, and I'm just trying to do quick math in my head, forgive me, but I think they've won those three games now something like 125-3. And they got shutouts, obviously, in two of them, and beat, you know, gave Connecticut a field goal. My point is, Indiana in the games where you would say, hey, if Indiana's a bowl team, then the proof that we'll take from this game is that they don't mess around. They don't, they don't toy with any sort of upset or anything like that. They go in, they get the job done with a minimum of fuss, and they get out the other side. Well, Indiana's done that in all three of those games. And again, it's that alone won't get you to a bowl game, you know, certainly. But I think there's a temptation to come out of games like these, you know, like Rutgers, like UConn, and say, well, you know, it's good that Indiana got the win because they couldn't afford to a loss, and it's broadly speaking good that they didn't pick up any major injuries or whatever. But other than that, we really didn't learn much about Indiana because, you know, the competition, the level of competition was so poor. At some point, you have to give Indiana credit for the fact that every time it plays a team like that, it, you know, frankly, destroys that team. And it's been that way all season long. It hasn't wavered. It hasn't changed. And maybe that, to some degree, is a sign of how good Indiana should be, you know, will be this year, and where Indiana should be regarded. Of course, I think you're about to come on to talk about the stretch Indiana has upcoming, which will be, you know, for better or for worse, I think much more sort of revelatory of exactly where this team's, you know, where this team falls in that equation.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. We're talking some IU football. We'll get to basketball here in just a bit. Let's talk about what's next. Indiana taking on Maryland, and Maryland a loss over the weekend, 40-14 at Purdue, and it's been a Purdue team that's had some struggles, to be quite honest, and a Purdue team that definitely has had some injuries as well. So a little bit of a surprising, especially in the margin of the loss for Maryland on Saturday.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, I didn't get to watch that game because it was going on while Indiana played Rutgers, but I think, you know, if you want to talk about teams that have, you know, kind of befuddled and confused this season, Maryland started the year with a couple of really heavy wins, a close loss to Temple, and since then it's just been all or nothing. I think at Maryland is something like +127 in point differential in wins and -88 in losses, something like that. And so it's again like the Temple game that they lost 20-17 is the outlier. It's the only one that's really been close. You know, if you're Indiana, I think you look at that Purdue performance. Jack Plummer, Purdue's backup quarterback, threw for 420 yards and 3 touchdowns, completed more than 80% of his passes. You know, if I'm Indiana, for obvious reasons, I'm taking a long look at that film and trying to figure out what holes did Purdue see and exploit in Maryland's pass defense, because Indiana, in theory, should be able to do that too. It's just, they've got quarterback issues, obviously a first-year coach in Mike Locksley. It's just kind of hard to figure out exactly what to expect from Maryland. But, again, you know, I could see this. I mean, Indiana's already a road favorite. In fact, I think the line opened fairly low, like -2.5, and then expanded out to like -5, -4.5, -5 almost immediately in terms of Indiana being a favorite this weekend. I could see this being another game where if, you know, Indiana wins and maybe wins somewhat comfortably, and at the end of it, everybody says, well, but we don't know what to make of Maryland, and that's fine. But at some point, Indiana is just going to have to get credit for knocking these teams off and basically sort of working its way up the Big Ten pecking order simply by putting teams behind it, you know, with results. Now, that said, Indiana's got to go win there. And I've seen as recently, we've all seen as recently as 2017, an Indiana team probably lose its opportunity to go to a bowl by losing a game at Maryland that, frankly, it should have won. But all that being said, you know, from Indiana's perspective, I do think that this is the kind of game where if they can win it, number one, again, I think it does start to maybe narrow down that range of where does Indiana fit in the Big Ten? Where does Indiana fit in the bowl picture? All right, well, if they win this game, they certainly, you know, should be, you know, this is the new floor. Now, how much further up do they move? But I also think it's the kind of game that just for momentum purposes, if Indiana wins this, you can start to kind of tell yourself if you're Indiana, hey, this is paying off, and this is happening the way that we were all told it would.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest. One more football question or one more football comment to get your opinion on. If Indiana can get the win on the road, if Indiana can get the win on the road this week, that would be win number 5. It takes 6 to be bowl eligible. That's the minimum number. And I know that some IU people, I saw a lot of people down at the big festival in New Albany over the weekend, people are hopeful that this Indiana team can not only get to 6, but maybe surpass 6 victories and make a statement on that side of things as well. Let's say they beat Rutgers. Nebraska on the road could be difficult. I don't think impossible. Where could win number six be? And what do you think if this team plays as they have and continues to make improvements and Michael Penix gets more experience as the starting quarterback, what could be a ceiling for victories this season if you want to get maybe a little liberal looking at things for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, it. You never want to get too far ahead. I always say I don't want to be flippant, but, you know, it is Indiana football, and I think we all understand kind of, you know, what the intimation behind that. But I think that from a scheduling perspective, you're right. I don't think that the Nebraska game looks as difficult as maybe we thought it did coming into the season. I don't think the Northwestern game looks remotely as difficult as we thought it would coming into the season. Then you get that second bye, and I think that, you know, I don't think anybody in Indiana is ever going to come out and say before the job is done that their goal is to get to six wins before the second bye. But you come out of that second bye week and you go to Penn State, then you get Michigan at home, then you have the rivalry game against Purdue. I'm not saying that if Indiana's not bowl eligible by the bye, they won't get bowl eligible. But I think that, you know, this team has wanted this moment and pushed hard for this moment for a very long time. And I think that that is a good thing. I think that ambition has driven a lot of these players and coaches on to get better and to improve. But I think it's also something where, you know, let's say they do win at Maryland this weekend. You don't want that to fester. You don't want to get to five wins and then have to sit there for a while, and you lose at Nebraska, and then you get busted at home against Northwestern. Then you have the bye. Then you probably imagine you're not going to win at Penn State the week after that. Suddenly, you start to get to a point where you think, oh, geez, we've been sitting here. Do we have to beat Michigan? Do we have to beat Purdue? I think that from Indiana's perspective, the big push to, again, let's presume they win the Maryland game, and you obviously all the caveats about not wanting Indiana, not counting its chickens and all that. There's no program in America that counts fewer chickens than Indiana, I think. But if Indiana were to win this weekend in College Park, then I think I'm thinking about a big push to get bowl eligible before the second bye, just by hook or by crook. If they can do that and go into those last two games of the season, in particular Michigan at home and Purdue on the road, you know, with the pressure largely off, feeling like they're playing with house money, I think there's a reasonable shot at seven wins. You know, eight would probably be the absolute ideal scenario. Everything breaks their way. Everything falls perfectly for them. But I think it would be very easy if they could get to six by Northwestern or after Northwestern. It was very easy to see this team reaching seven, which obviously would be their best season since 2007. And I think would probably bump them out of the sort of bottom tier of Big Ten bowls as well, and maybe get them into a situation like a Gator Bowl, something like that.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Zach, we're having a little bit of problem hearing you. I'm not sure what exactly happened, but talking IU football, but Zach, I would like to try to get to some basketball with you before we let you go. Trace Jackson Davis, the IU program announced in these early season practices last week, won the coveted gold jersey. You know, there's a plus-minus system we've talked about. No one knows the exact formula or exactly how it's figured up, but obviously there's some statting going on of a lot of different categories in practice. And Trace Jackson Davis, a newcomer, a freshman, somebody that I think everybody's really excited about, was excited about it, Hoosier Hysteria, to see him do so well in the little brief scrimmage as well. He wins the gold jersey, the first one that's been announced to the public, maybe the first one that's been issued so far this season based on how he's done in practice. And I think that is really good news for Indiana. There's excitement about Jerome Hunter. There's excitement about Trace Jackson Davis. And there's some unknown about those guys for obvious reasons as well, but always good to see a newcomer come in there and get that gold jersey early on like that.
As you said, you know, it's never been sort of fully spelled out how exactly Indiana determines the awarding of the gold jersey. And you know, to some degree, I think probably from Archie Miller's perspective, you can win it a lot of different ways. You know, it's not necessarily simply step one, step two, step three. I do think as you said, I think it's good news. It seemed like a really positive sign that Jerome Hunter won it late last preseason before, obviously, his leg condition kind of robbed him of the year. I think it's also a reminder, and I've always felt stuff like gold jerseys. I know that fans see that, and some of them, they roll their eyes and they think, well, you know, this is just a gimmick. It's, you know, who cares? It doesn't win you any games. It's not any, you know, we don't even know what that means. I think really that stuff is more for the players, though, because it's easy to forget that these guys are still in a real slog. Like, I know that the season probably seems a lot more real, but in some respects, you talk to athletes who go through any kind of preseason, they'll tell you that sometimes it's this time of year that's the hardest to get through mentally. You know, preseason football camp, you know, the month of October for college basketball players, the winter for baseball players, because you're so close to it, and yet, you know, it feels like the days are just stretching on and on and on and on without the reward of being able to play. And I think that the value of something like a gold jersey is really much more for giving players a tangible reward and giving players just a something to be proud of, something to hold on to, something to strive for, so that you can break up some of the monotony, essentially, of the preseason. And you can, you know, you can let them kind of have something more than just the daily grind of practices and weightlifting sessions and conditioning work and on and on. And you know, the stuff that sort of feels like it may never end before the games finally arrive. I think certainly, again, it's really encouraging to see Trace Jackson Davis win that. You'd be curious to know why, because, you know, I think that Indiana's going to need points from Trace Jackson Davis this season, but Archie Miller's been very clear that Indiana's going to need really good defense, and probably the kind of defense Trace Jackson Davis has not played a lot of in his career, stretching out to guard more versatile four men, you know, maybe being able to guard around the perimeter more than he ever really was asked to in high school. You know, Indiana's going to put Trace Jackson Davis in some uncomfortable positions this season, especially at the defensive end of the floor. You know, if that was part of the rationale behind awarding him the gold jersey, I think Indiana, you know, Archie Miller would feel very, very satisfied about that.
Yeah, no question. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Secret scrimmage forthcoming against Marquette. That obviously,
love a good secret scrimmage. Love it.
We obviously know that Indiana will have a good test in that game. And there will clearly be some things discovered about this team. What we don't know, and the question I get all the time, so it's the question I'm going to relate to you, is what do we find out from a secret scrimmage? I think last year we found a few details out. It's up to the school. It's up to the coach and the media staff what exactly they do want to release. But obviously, Zach Osterman can't get into the game to cover the game for the Star. We can't get in to tell you about
it.
Yeah, exactly. What will we hear? What will we hear about this upcoming experiment, which is the next step to getting us closer to the regular season for 2019-2020 college basketball? What will we find anything out meaningful from this game about Jerome Hunter's playing time, or how Trace Jackson Davis does, or some of the big questions that surround this team right now?
Yeah, it does come out in dribs and drabs. You know, it sometimes you get points totals and things like that. A lot more often it'll be more like, oh, so-and-so was great on the boards, or, you know, to use an example you mentioned there, I heard Jerome Hunter played 25 minutes and he had no trouble. So you say, well, that's really encouraging. You know, these things aren't a perfect test, because a lot of times it's not just like 40 minutes on the clock, you know, 15, 20, or 20-minute halftime, referees blow the whistle and we go. Usually coaches will try to set up some situational work. It will be played under, obviously, the familiar structure of a game, but coaches will try to use some of this stuff, so use these situations to work on some maybe more specific things that it's controlled, I guess, is my point. It's not simply a start finish, you know, sort of like a game where you basically just have to play under the parameters, obviously, of the game itself. So that can always skew things a little bit too. You know, I mean, it always does amuse me. It feels like it's very rare that I see negative news come out of a secret scrimmage. It's all, you know, so-and-so looked good, so-and-so shot well, and on and on. But we'll see, obviously, what comes out of it from Indiana's perspective. I think typically it's much more kind of the nuggets you talked about, like, you know, Jerome Hunter did this, or, hey, Al Durham hit four threes, you know, that kind of thing, rather than maybe there being a box score that you're able to say, well, this is exactly what happened, and here's how efficient this was, and here's how much this needs work, and those different sorts of things. Because, again, it's also kind of an imperfect setting to try and codify in a really statistical way, because you may be, you know, stopping it for a moment and letting somebody work on three different inbounds plays to try and run against live defense that, you know, that has not been watching you build those inbounds plays in for the last, you know, 3 weeks, so you can get a feel for what's working in there and what's not, and what needs to improve and change. It's good. I think I don't blame, you know, for all my jokes about it, I don't really blame coaches for wanting to do this, because, number one, it's a lot easier for programs like Indiana and Marquette to get together in this setting than it ever would be, of course, to try and get them together for, you know, a preseason scrimmage that was open to the public. And number two, it lets you, again, it lets you control certain things, and it lets you work on certain things in a controlled way, so that you're not beholden to all of the rules of a structured game, even an exhibition game. It lets you stop things, you know, move things around, interchange different pieces. And it also probably lets you, to some degree, dictate the narrative surrounding your preseason just a little bit longer before we all get a really unfettered look at kind of what is and isn't working for a team.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, always kind enough to carve some moments out on Monday to talk IU football and IU basketball with us. And, Zach, I'm pretty sure I heard the car beep and the car start. That means you're headed to Bloomington for Coach Allen's football press conference coming up here in just a bit. So have fun with that. We'll look forward to your coverage coming out of that later. And thanks for coming on with us again this week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us on Mondays. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk some local sports. We've got football sectional pairings that came out last night. Fall sports in their final weeks, the postseason football tournament about to begin. Basketball is just around the corner. We'll talk all of that and more with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown High School's athletic director, and he's also an IHSAA executive board member, and he's with us Mondays on the program as well. Stay with us for that. Coming up next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Chad Gilbert is with me here on this Monday show as normal. And Chad is the Charlestown athletic director, also an IHSAA executive board member. And he joins us on Mondays to talk local sports here on the Hoosier Report. Chad, football sectional pairings out yesterday. Lots of interesting takes from all the different classes. And, of course, some of the sectionals, it's a wide distance of opponents for some of our local teams, whether it be in the first round or potential second or third round matchups. But one thing is for sure, New Albany and Jeff are going to battle it out in a 5A semifinal, and that I thought was one of the more interesting things in the pairings that came out on Sunday night.
Matt, first of all, it's good to be back. It's good to hear your voice. I've not seen you in so long. I forget what you look like. We've got to hook up here sometime soon. But it's great to be back. You know, fall is in the air. You know, this what we had this summer, extended summer, was brutal. However, it was great for football gates. We didn't have very many rains till this past Friday, and that takes us right into the sectional. And like you talked about coming into the sectional, that New Albany-Jeff game is one you got to circle, because if you look at that sectional, there's four teams in there with Jeff and New Albany playing each other, hosted by Jeff, Floyd Central and Bedford playing each other. You know, two games in there, somebody's got a chance to go, and then once you win that sectional, you don't know what will happen in that regional. So, you know, they've got a chance. Whoever wins that sectional on a given night can get out of that regional. And I would guess that, you know, Jeffersonville handled New Albany, you know, pretty well the first time they played. I would think the Bulldogs have that game circled as, you know, something they want to put their best foot forward on. And I'm sure Jeffersonville, you know, anytime Jeffersonville and New Albany playing anything, you can guarantee both teams are going to bring their A game. So that's going to be a battle.
No question. The 5A sectional is a good one. New Albany, Jeff. On the other side, Floyd Central and Bedford North Lawrence. It's only four teams, so the first rounds in that game, in that sectional, will not be played until November 1st, which means those teams get probably a good break, a one-week break off to maybe recover and hopefully get some players back from injuries and things like that. Jumping around, just kind of looking at some of the notable matchups, Chad, your Pirates have been playing some good football. They've got a number of experienced players, including Marion Lukes, obviously, that have been having really good years, and it's really shown here the last half of the season, or I should say the second half of the season especially. The Pirates did draw Brownstown right out of the gate, who defeated Silver Creek on Friday. Looks like they're going to be conference champions and, of course, always a strong program. So a tough matchup, but an interesting matchup. We'll see if Charlestown can take the momentum they've built here later in the season and put it to work against Brownstown in a few weeks in an opening sectional game.
Well, you know, first off on Charlestown's season, we're three plays away, Matt, from being undefeated. You know, we have Silver Creek. We have a mental lapse there, a couple of things. We get our heads down. Silver Creek scores a couple right at the end to win the game. We come back with Brownstown. We've got Brownstown on the ropes going into the fourth quarter. And we have a couple of mental mistakes there. Our heads get down. Brownstown scores a couple times at the end and puts us away. I'm going on record right now with Charlestown will beat Brownstown in that first round, hosted here at the Boneyard. Coach Hawkins will have those guys ready. He knows what he's going to go across, but it will not be an easy task. You know, Brownstown has one of the best coaches in any sport in Reed May up there. You know, a guy who, you know, when he comes to our place, I watch Reed May from the time they get off the bus until kickoff, and everything he does is calculated. There's no messing around. Everything's pop, 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 pop. He's got a routine. You know, when Brownstown shows up, every other team shows up. You know, kickoff's at 7 o'clock. They show up about, 5:30-ish. Brownstown's here after school. You know, I'm not exaggerating. You know, 4:30 rolls around, they're in here. And it's no messing around. It's no going out and playing keep away with the football. He's walking the field. He's got assistant coaches on task, players on task. He's got a routine that he follows, which makes him successful. And the way that, you know, watching him over the last 7 years, we beat him once. Darren Ward was here and beat him once the year we won the sectional. And the way that you've got to beat a Reed May coach team is you got to coach, you got to play him bend, not break. And what I mean by that one is you can't turn the ball over. You can't have any turnovers. You can't give them any extra possessions. And you've got to bust a freak play, a big play, whether it's picking off a pass and running it back, whether it's a punt return back. You've got to have a big play in there to kind of get the momentum swung in your direction. And I think, you know, everybody who plays him, I think they know that. And that's easier said than done, because he is such a good coach and he has those guys playing at their peak performances. But I think, you know, with Brownstown coming to our place, our guys are hungry, and I feel like we're going to be in a good position to win that game.
Yeah, that will definitely be an interesting game. You bring up a great point, regular season matchup. Charlestown, you were giving us updates on our Friday night coverage. It was wild. It was a great finish. It just didn't go Charlestown's way. We'll see if that changes in the second and most important matchup of the year. Chad Gilbert, my guest, talking local sports headlines. I want to talk some basketball with you. Trey Kaufman has been a very popular name to discuss, not just with the high school season coming up, but, of course, his recruitment by Indiana and many other high major schools. He took a visit over the weekend to Big Blue Madness. You want to talk about a traditional program with routines and with a big crowd for a preseason, or I should say an early season practice. The Big Blue Madness event is that. We'll be curious to see. Obviously, Kentucky's interested. I saw the Trey was sitting basically courtside for the event. Be interesting to see how this new entry into his recruitment goes with Kentucky getting involved. It looks like on a pretty serious level.
Well, I passed his mom on the way to the lunchroom just a little bit ago and asked her how it went. She said it was awesome. So, you know that's going in. I didn't get to go into great detail with her on how everything was going through there. But when you're going to Big Blue Madness, you know, you're taking up a whole nother level. And that's something, you know, that he's going to be able to judge things on, places that he's been able to go as a junior, places he's been able to go as a sophomore, and see what these places have to offer him and then where he can fit in their system. And I think once you see, you know, you see a Trey Kaufman sitting on the sidelines, I think more people get in. You know, I think North Carolina's kind of buzzing in now, getting in on the radar a little bit. Stanford was in last week. So it's different things that they'll get to come in and they'll see. And that young man's smart. He's going to put himself in a position where, one, he's going to be successful in a place that he can fit in best. And, two, he's going to want somewhere that's going to make him the best player he can be. And I think all these people that are coming in at this point in the game are getting an opportunity to see what this man can offer to their program.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. You also, when we were chatting before the show, Silver Creek, they're the latest school in the area. I know they'll have a lot of fans and a lot of listeners to this show in to see Trey. A lot of IU fans, I'm sure, specifically will get to Silver Creek for some games this year. They're the latest school in the area to have a new, pretty cool-looking basketball floor, which is kind of the new trend. You know, the traditional basketball floor is kind of went out as schools redo, repaint, redesign. It's almost the crazier you can get, the better. So Silver Creek, the latest with the new floor, I thought that was noteworthy.
Yeah, I thought it looked really good. And it got that opportunity to get on the floor and celebrate their basketball championship from last year. So I think that's very important to that. And that floor was due for a makeover, so it came at the right time, and the floor is super cool, Matt. You know, looking at pictures on it, it looked extremely bright, extremely clean, and extremely, you know, extreme. Like you said, it's a little bit different than traditional floors in the past, and I think a lot of teams are going to that. If you see Eastern's floor in the Mid-Southern Conference, Clarksville's floor in the Mid-Southern Conference, even New Albany's to an extent, Jeffersonville's, you know, that they've kind of revolved around that. Charlestown's due for a floor next year, and we've got a lot of good ideas and a lot of things in the works to make that one look really good as well.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad is always with us Mondays as we talk local headlines. It's great to catch up. You've been busy, man. You've had some meetings, and well, I think maybe we're sick one week. We've missed each other a couple times, but always look forward to catching up on Monday, so it's great to have you back this week.
Matt, I look forward to catching up to you and looking forward to talking all winter long. I appreciate everything you do, and thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Thank you very much. That will wrap things up for this Monday program. Don't forget, if you missed the live show, the replay each day, most days here on the Big X at 3 o'clock. You also can find a podcast of our show on SoundCloud. It's a free app you can download, or you can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts. I know a lot of people listen to podcasts that way. Just search for the Hoosier Report. You can subscribe for free, obviously. And if you would, leave us a rating and a review while you are there subscribing. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in a radio show and a podcast about IU athletics and Southern Indiana sports and, of course, more. That'll wrap things up for today. Tuesday, we've got Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll also talk with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com to get the latest on IU recruiting. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports. Back with you tomorrow at 11 right here on the Big X Sports Radio.